Welcome to the Purple Saint Show, episode 447. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Get more than a minute 30 out of me.
And Jeff.
Hey, it's been a while. I got excited.
All right. There is no Earl, no Pete this week, and really no news because we didn't look any up. But Jeff and I have
good night, everybody.
Shortest episode ever. Thank you all for joining us. Oh, actually, there's a bunch of games that Jeff and I have been playing.
Yeah.
And Jeff played one that just came out this week.
I have Dangerous Driving, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You hear about first. Yeah. So, do you like Burnout 3?
I do.
Then. Well, I was going to say, if you buy this, it's kind of like a spiritual successor to it. You know, made by Three Fields Entertainment, who are people that, like, I think founded Criterion.
Yeah, the original founders, I believe.
And helped, you know, to make the Burnout series in the first place. It's kind of them following up on that, like, bringing it back. They've been slowly building towards this with, like, these little indie games, starting with Dangerous Golf, I think.
Yeah, what were the? Because they made two other games that were like basically Crash Mode. What?
Yes. So yeah. So there's Dangerous Golf, which is Crash Mode, but miniature golf, and then they made Danger Zone 1 and 2.
Danger Zone. That's it.
And it's like, I guess they've been gradually getting better. I actually own Dangerous Golf, and it was kind of fun actually for what it is. I know a lot of people like shit on it, but it's kind of interesting. And I heard Danger Zone 1 was kind of a shit show, like barely a game. And then it was fleshed out and better in Danger Zone 2. Basically, in Danger Zone 2, it felt like fucking Crash Mode ripped from Burnout 3. So the weird thing is like, if you buy, and I don't know if you saw me ranting about this on Twitter earlier, but it's like, it kind of sucks because, like, basically, if you buy this new game, Dangerous Driving, and you buy Danger Zone 2 together, you essentially have a sequel to Burnout 3, but it's like super low budget. You could tell that. And there's no soundtrack.
It's there's really, no soundtrack. So you're playing really, the game in silence.
Yeah. I mean, there's just,
So there is Spotify premium integration. So I guess you can like, play playlists or whatever from Spotify through the game, but it's only for premium members, so you have to pay to get a soundtrack into the game.
Yeah, like you have to. Yeah, and I'm not a Spotify member, so you know, I could always just as easily just play music in the room, and I guess it would be kind of the same, but I have not done that yet. I probably will eventually, but I'm just saying that if you play it as it is, it's kind of like, it kind of emphasizes the feeling, like it kind of underlines the feeling that this is like not a finished game per se, or like not a whole game. There's other things to point to that as well. I mean, again, there's just not a ton there in terms of content. Like, there's a decent amount, I guess, for the price, it seems like. But also, just like this very, very bare bones presentation where it's just like, you know, when a race ends, it just says first or second or whatever place you like. It doesn't even say like press A to continue. Like, it's just like, it feels like placeholder shit everywhere, you know.
So weird.
It is very weird. It's a very weird story, like kind of tracking this like studio and what they're trying to do and what they've done. But anyways, like, the core of the game here, though, is Burnout 3. You know, it does look a little better, I would imagine, than how it did, you know. Right. It looks how your memory, though, of Burnout 3 was. And, like, down to even, like, the text and the fonts and things in the menus. Like, it looks like Burnout 3. And it feels like they got the feel right. It, you know, plays right. It's fun to play. So far I'm enjoying it. It's just like this really weird thing, which I can like only recommend to people that are like me. Like, you know, I'm not regretting that I bought this at $30 because Burnout 3 is probably my favorite racing game ever. So it's just like, even if it is like this half-assed, low-budget sequel to it, I'll take it. Like, it's fun to be playing
a Burnout. You're okay with that.
Well, it's fun to be playing like Burnout 3 on my Xbox One. Like, not having to hook up my PS2 or whatever to play it. Like, to play something like that is cool. Like,
right, and I
miss those types of racers.
If you go back to Burnout 3, which I played last year, you're gonna be like, damn, like the draw distance is really short. It's like there's things here that like it's like this is kind of how you remember that gameplay.
Yes, that's why I was like careful to say it that way. Because like, yeah, there's no way, like, it's, I mean, this does look cheap now for what it is, but like it surely looks better than Burnout 3 actually does objectively. But yeah, like it's. And, you know, the last time I did play Burnout 3, I thought it still looked pretty good for what it was.
Yeah, it's fine.
And the game, like, the gameplay itself, it's still, I think, again, probably my favorite racing game. It still holds up the last time I played it. And that gameplay, like, translates here. Like, this feels just like it. It, you know, looks like it, but better in a way, you know? Like I said, it looks like how you remember it. So I don't know which way that pushes you on the fence, Chris. So, like, it's a weird thing, man.
I really wish it was 20 and not $30, but
that's my problem. That's my problem. It, like, $30 feels steep for what this is in a way. Like, it's an unfinished product.
Yeah, like that no soundtrack, like that. Like I'm currently like building my own soundtrack for it. It's like, I don't know. Like, maybe I wait for a sale or something. I could, like, use, like, a cool arcade racer because they're just, people are like, oh, Onrush is really cool. I did not like Onrush last year.
Me neither,
And, like, this is more kind of what I would want out of that type of game, but it just seems, like, so half-baked.
And the thing I don't get too is like, why not put some crash mode events in this one? Like, why is it like divided between this and this other game? Also, like, why didn't you just roll those levels into this?
We've included Danger Zone 2 as part of, like, we've incorporated the Danger Zone 2 levels or the Danger Zone levels into Dangerous Driving.
If you want to charge $30 for it.
Right, that would actually make sense, because like who the hell is really at this point going out and buying Danger Zone or Danger Zone 2?
Well, now I am, because I want my crash mode so bad. Like, I'm playing this, I'm like, this is great. You know what it's missing? It's missing crash mode. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
so you're that guy.
Yeah, they got me on the line now for $50. Like, I haven't bought it yet, but I guarantee you it's coming. You know, because crash mode was like the thing to me that like Burnout 3 is a great racer all around, and even if you took that out of it, I think it's a fantastic game. But like, that's what put it over the top for me was crash mode. Like, I really, really loved that. So yeah, I'm fucked now. I gotta buy Danger Zone 2.
All right. Well, let's keep with the racing theme. So you guys know that with Game Pass and Microsoft Rewards, like if you play like certain games and get achievements, you get like points and stuff.
And they're all racing games this month. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, one of the challenges is racing games, and they're all motorcycle racing games at that.
Oh my god.
Motorcycle racing games suck. And two of them are sims.
Hey.
No, they're bad.
Road Rash. Come on,
yeah,
bro.
Road Rash was 25 years ago, Jeff.
I'm just saying.
Like, and so one of them is like MotoGP 17. It is a sim motorcycle race, racing game. Like, so basically think like Forza, but even like more, it's not even like Forza. It's like whatever the step up from Forza would be in like the sim world of racing. So like, that's what MotoGP 17 is. It's like this super complicated, super bike racing game. I did not enjoy it. I played the one race. I was able to get the one achievement I needed, and I immediately deleted that shit from my hard drive. Another one was MotoGPX, which is motocross. So like dirt bike racing, basically, but sim dirt bike racing. Also not fun. I'm sure there are people out there that like enjoy that stuff. Like this not hitting me at all. It was another one, earn achievement, immediately deleted. There is one, and I haven't gotten credit for it yet. It's the one I earned the most achievements in too. It is an Xbox 360 game, MX versus ATV Reflex.
Great.
Which I believe was one of the games with gold games like a while back. It is a arcade-ish motorcycle ATV game. And that one's actually okay. I'm not going to play a ton of it, but like if you're looking for something like okay to play, maybe that one's the all right one. The other two for that that challenge though suck. So sorry, Tony.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try.
Not gonna chase after that one.
I'm sorry if you just mentioned this one. I was like MX versus ATV.
Yeah, MX versus ATV.
That's literally the game he was just talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Xbox 360 game. And it's the best out of those. It's also not what I want out of.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like I'm not really big on like dirt bike racing, and there's like not a lot of motorcycles are harder to control anyway.
Dude, Excitebike 64.
Sure. But like also
down with
also
that?
25 years ago.
I know, but were you down with that game?
That's yeah, it's fine. Like I don't love it, but yeah, it's like that.
I really liked it, man.
It's okay.
It was impressive. Like it was I think it's a N64 game that actually kind of holds up. Strangely,
yeah, I think it's like a simple concept. So, mm-hmm. I think then the best N64 games kind of had like that simple concept. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the three for that challenge. Another one was this game Absolver. That's a challenge on there as well.
I sort of want to try that one.
That one's interesting. It is a kung fu. Well, I guess you can at some point you get like a sword or a staff or something, so you can fight in different ways. But you start off just doing like hand to hand combat, so it's like this like kung fu game where you're going around and fighting people very deliberately. It's not like fast paced. It's not like a Devil May Cry or Bayonetta. Like it's like you have a stamina bar and you're like, you know, blocking and moving in a different stance. And depending upon which stance you're in, it's how you can attack. And it actually works pretty well though. And it's this kind of like open world that, you have to go and take on like 9 different bosses. And it just throws you out there and it's like, go kill these things. And when you're done, like you'll be able to open this door and move on. It's kind of cool. I would, if you're interested in it, I would definitely say check it out because it's something different. So it's not deliberate in the way that like Hellblade was.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't like that combat at all.
No,
it's also more complex than that too, though. So you can learn like different moves and stuff, which is interesting because like different people have different attacks at you. And as you defend against the attacks or take on the attacks without dying, you learn those. Mm-hmm. So like you'll have like, let's say this isn't a particular move, but like a jump kick or something. If somebody keeps attacking you with a jump kick, like, and you keep defending and blocking it, as long as you don't die from it, you're continuing to learn that. And at some point, like you will get enough experience of blocking it that you will learn that move and be able to add that to your arsenal of moves.
That's cool.
Which is like an interesting approach to it. It's also a multiplayer game. So there are people in the world, like we could run into each other and we could team up against, you know, the AI characters, or we could fight each other. And you get experience for, you know, killing people or for not. Yeah. So like you can play it as friendly, like that you'll come across a tutorial guy who's like, hey, not everybody is out to kill you. Maybe don't attack everybody. But you can, if you want, you can attempt to attack everybody, but I don't know if you'll know their level or not, because there's like an RPG leveling system. So that one I thought was pretty cool.
Wait, you wouldn't know their level when you were attacking them?
Yeah.
You're like attacking about somebody like 30 levels above you.
You could. Like, I don't think I ran into anybody like that, but like, it doesn't really tell you what their level is. If they have like armor or something, that will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume like if, you know, they have better armor or something, it would take longer to drop down. You'd be able to kind of be like, oh shit, like this person has a lot of armor. They're probably way better than me because you don't start off with any.
Right.
So, maybe don't attack them. I don't know. Yeah, I think that one's pretty cool. That's part of the Game Pass challenges. And the other one was like try a game that came out in March on Game Pass. So I tried The Blob.
That's on Game Pass?
Really? Yeah. That's like I don't know exactly how to.
It's kind of like a platformer.
Kind of. You're like painting, like these color pirates or whatever. They've come in and taken all the color out of the world, so everything's now black and white except for you, and you are adding color back to the world. And there are like enemies and. You're trying to get enough points to open up the gate into the next area. It seemed cute enough, very simple, something that kids could probably play. So that one's all right, too. Jeff, you play anything else?
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, Lordy, did he?
What have I not played else? I don't even know where to begin.
By playing yourself.
Yeah.
I could do that. I don't know if you want to hear that on the podcast there, but
no, definitely not.
This is a podcast for children. We don't go for that kind of talk.
Podcast for children has an explicit tag.
Explicit children, okay.
It's explicitly for children.
That's what that means, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Rated G for go listen to something else.
Parental advisory. Kids listen to us. All right, Jeff. What else have you been playing?
Well, I was just trying to think of like where I want to start. I guess one of the games I talked about last week, Hob, I finished.
Okay. That was a quick.
So it was good enough that, you know, I stuck with it through to the end. I'd say it was probably 10 hours ish.
Okay.
So like that. Yeah. I liked that game. It grew on me for sure. I forgot what my exact first impression was. I don't think I really played enough to really say last week, but I ended up liking it more than I thought I would at first. It's very, like, it reminded me of Rhyme a lot very early on, a game that I quit probably an hour into it. It made me almost want to go back to Rhyme. Like, maybe I was wrong about that one, too. Because the more I stuck with this, the more I really liked it. It's just like you get into a new area, and you're kind of solving big kind of environmental like puzzles that kind of go across the whole level, you know? You're, like, thinking about, like, what the level is and how you're trying to change the level in order to, like, activate a switch, essentially, right?
Right.
And once you do that in each area, like, you know, usually you're at the edge of, like, the level and it's just, like, sky and nothing else out there. And then all of a sudden, like, you hit a switch and then, like, you know, it'll raise, like, an island that'll come, like, line up with where you were. And all of a sudden you have a whole new area you can walk into. And that's kind of how the whole game goes. You just kind of keep heading kind of north, it almost feels like, though you're just kind of filling out a map. But just by, yeah, you solve the puzzle in an area. A new piece of land kind of like floats up, and then there's your next level, you know. The thing is, like, the game is a little artsy-fartsy and, like, kind of vague. I think I might have mentioned that last week. It's kind of like that the whole way. It's like you got to kind of be able, like, to be a little patient and just kind of, like, poke around until you figure out what you're doing. Or, you know, there might be times where you're like, am I going the right way? Is this where I'm supposed to be going? And if you just kind of screw around for a bit, you'll, like, stumble upon the right way. It is more linear than you think it is, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, you will kind of stumble upon it.
Okay.
Like, the path you're supposed to be on. But I will say that's, like, something that, like, kind of, like, goes throughout it, and especially kind of at the end of the game, it gets even more vague, where you're like, okay, I feel like I did everything, like, what am I supposed to do now? And, like, you kind of have to, like, go all over the map, like, looking for these four items. It's like a fetch quest at the end of the game type thing, but it doesn't, like, hint that you have to do that, and it also stops giving you markers on your map for where you're supposed to go next. Like, the game, at the very least, always does that until then, and then you're just like, wait, all right, now what? Like, you're not giving me a marker anymore. And you're just kind of left to wander the world until you solve, you know, the game. So, like, it might be one, like, where you might use a walkthrough here and there. I did near the end, I guess, to figure out where I was going. But for the most part, I did let myself get lost, and I would still figure out the right way eventually. I think, okay, you know, for $18, like, if you're a person that likes games with puzzles in them, like Zelda type puzzles and shit, like, I think that lives up to that price. I enjoyed it enough. I think, like I said, I rated it on Twitter like a 7.5 when all said and done. Like, it's pretty decent for what it is, and, you know, at that price, it's kind of a bargain, I'd say. So
yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's just, like I said, you might have to stick with, you know, it might take you about an hour or so to, like, get your bearings in that world. And, you know, that'll happen again here and there. But I'd say it was worth it, you know. I also bought a game on the Switch called Enter the Gungeon. Have you guys heard of this game?
I have heard of it. I don't know anything about it, but it is a name I recognize.
I've heard it.
It is, like, kind of like it's a roguelike and kind of like a top-down twin-stick shooter. So kind of like Binding of Isaac.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But, you know, looks more like regular generic kind of pixel art, I'd say. And it's, like, all focused on, like, guns. It's kind of like Borderlands or something, like, where it's just like there's a million fucking guns in it, and you're kind of like, as you're going through your runs and failing, you're like unlocking the ability for, like, more guns and weapons and shit, you know, for you know, future playthroughs. I think it's, like, really awesome, actually. Like, I bought it on a whim. I watched the trailer for it on the eShop because it's on sale. It's 50% off. And for $7.50, like, that's how much it costs right now. It's $7.50. This is a must own, in my opinion. Like, this should be on every Switch. Like, if you don't own this, you should be buying this right now while it's on sale. Really fun, super, I think, high quality game for what it is. Really cool looking bosses. Like, one of the bosses is, like, this fucking buffed out dude with a fucking bird head and a Gatling gun. One boss is like two oversized bullets that are just chasing you around, like, that are holding guns and shooting at you.
The bullets are shooting guns.
That's, yes, weird. Yeah, there's all sorts of, like, crazy guns. Some of them are almost useless. Like, one I got the last time I played was, like, a frog that shoots bubbles. And they're, like, we're basically worthless unless the enemy gets caught into where the bubble lands. And then, like, you know, it's, like, poison for them to stay on there. But, yeah, like, just all sorts of fucking crazy guns. It's always fun. It's just, like, it's like a perfect game for the Switch, too. Like, where if you take it on the go or something, it's a game you can play for 10 minutes and do a run and put away. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to beat it because I guess you either have to, like, get good or get lucky with these types of games. But they're fun to like pick away at, and like even if you're just playing this the first or second level over and over, like there's like four or five different bosses for each of those levels I've encountered so far. So it's like you're getting, I mean, first of all, you're getting variety in the level design every time. And you're getting variety in the bosses even early on. So it's like,
it's procedurally generated.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, it is. It's, yeah. Right. It's like that type of game where it's like every time you die, you start over. You start over from the beginning, but yeah, you're like, you get to the level one boss, it's not always going to be like the same guy.
It's like the rotation. The layout's not always the same too.
No, not at all. No, yeah, it's always changing. So I know, like, I guess like a turnoff for some people, but I honestly feel like how different is that honestly from, I guess, you know, an arcade game, you can master the levels, but it's like, I don't know. I think it's fun. Like, it's fun to like do a run on a couple levels, even if they're always different, try to get better at it, you know? And even if I never beat it, like, I'm always kind of seeing new things. And this game is like, again, I haven't played a lot of roguelikes, but I would put this above any of the others I've played, I'd say. Like, I'd put it above Rogue Legacy. I would put it above Binding of Isaac. Would I put it above Dead Souls? Almost, maybe. I really love kind of like bullet hell gameplay. Although I would not say this is like super intense bullet hell, but like I really dig that type of shooter. You know,
more like bullet purgatory.
Yes. Yeah. Well, bullet purgatory, we'll say.
We'll step it down.
Yeah. I mean, it could get pretty rough, but like.
Yeah, I'm like looking at some of this and like, nope, this is definitely not for me.
What did you think? It looks too hard.
Like at certain points, like I'm like looking at it, just like just circles of shots coming out of some of these bosses.
Well, you know what? You do build up these shells, and if you click the right and left stick at the same time, it clears all bullets on the stage. The trick is, one, you have to like, it's a resource you have to manage. But the other thing is, it's like when you're in the heat of battle, sometimes it can be easy to forget that you even have that move, and you know, you just get caught up and like, oh fuck, I could have used it, you know.
Right, you don't remember until it's too late.
Yeah. I like the art style though. I think for $7.50, man, again, like even if you don't think it's your type of game, it's worth the risk. Like for me, this is really, it's a must own on the system. But you know. Yeah, I wouldn't feel bad telling you to buy it and you guys hated it because it's $7.50. Go to hell if you don't like it. But
I mean, we don't have to go to hell.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. It was like it's the price of a sub. You know, you're fine.
I don't have my sub. I'm hungry now.
I guess that's true, but
I need my sandwich.
But you could get hours and hours of joy.
But if he's not, that's the thing. No, I think it looks pretty cool. I don't know if I would have time to fit this in, but I still haven't finished Dead Cells, so
neither have I. But I don't know. This is I mean, Dead Cells was like $30 maybe when it came out, $23.
Yeah, Dead Cells was 30 or 40. Yeah,
this is one I just watched the trailer and just. It looked fun enough that I was like, I'll take a risk on it, and I'm like very happy I did. Like,
visually, it's pretty cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say get it. There was one other one I wanted to touch on. Oh yeah, another kind of a similar vein, man. I bought Towerfall on the Switch.
That is not similar vein. It's a multiplayer game, Jeff.
This Enter the Gungeon could be multiplayer. In fact, I think you could do four players on Enter the Gungeon.
Like, against each other?
No, as like a co-op.
Together, yes.
Run, yeah.
Towerfall, though, it's competitive, right?
It's both.
Hmm.
So they've added some stuff to it from its very first release, which I think I did try it out on the PS4. Although, I think its very first release was Ouya.
Yeah, it was an exclusive there.
Oh, God.
Ouya fucking had the games because I think Towerfall is amazing. I'm sure you guys have tried this game, right?
I have not.
What other games did Ouya have?
That was it.
I don't know. That was the only like amazing exclusive, I'd say. It might have been one of their only exclusives. Anyways, it's you've never played it, Chris?
I mean, it's everything I've ever heard is like you need people to play with, so
yeah, I mean it's definitely a lot better with people to play with. Yeah, put it that way.
I remember those things, but
yeah. Like I've only played it with just my girlfriend, so I've done like full 4 or 6 players like you could do, but
so it's like do they fill it with bots if you're
no I mean you might be able to because there's a billion different settings you could do for the multiplayer.
Okay,
as I'm sure you could probably add bots, but you could do just standard versus, so just even one-on-one, it's just you and her in a room shooting arrows at each other trying to kill each other, and even just that is amazingly fun and often hilarious. Like just the scenarios of how you kill each other just end up being so funny you laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also they've added stuff. There's like there is a co-op like campaign. There's a co-op quest.
Okay.
And the way that works is you're in a level, so you're on a, picture like a Pac-Man maze or board, yeah, or whatever. And it's the same every time, but you have to survive 6 rounds of increasingly kind of difficult rounds of enemies. So kind of like a horde mode, essentially. And you do that, and you keep unlocking more levels to do that on. And then there's like included in this version on the Switch, there's a DLC quest on top of that, where instead of having to survive 6 rounds in one level, I think the way that works is you'll do 6 different levels per like go. Like so instead of like you're on the same board for like each one, it's like it changes, the level changes each time.
Okay.
So that's like 2 kind of full quests you could do, and you could do that solo. You can do that just entirely on your own, you just gotta be good. Also solo or with I think someone else is like it's called Trials or something weird like that, where all it is basically like you're trying to kill all the dummies that are in a room as quickly as possible. So there's like they flesh this out. Yeah. It's like there's like a mode like that in Smash Brothers, I think.
Right.
I don't know. They did flesh this thing out. So like I haven't really fucked around with that mode much, but I've played a little bit of the quests with me and my girlfriend, moving through that, trying to unlock more stages. But really, like, we're hoping that is to unlock more stages for, like, the main draw, which is kind of like the versus, in my opinion. It's all kind of fun, and it's all worth it.
That's what it was originally designed around.
Yeah. So. That core is very fun, but, like, the quest stuff where you're trying to, like, clear enemies and stuff, is also very fun too, for what it is, and that the reason I bought that is it was on sale for 50% off as well. I think $10. I don't know if that still is or not, but it was $10 on the eShop.
Nice.
I'd say again, I don't know, force your family to play with you. That's what they're for. You make them do what you tell them.
Is that what they're for?
Yeah.
Damn. That never works, though.
Generally have very little interest in that. occasionally, I can get them to do something, but...
It's worth it. Force them. Do it. Yeah, it's too bad there's no like online, because I actually would play this with you. It's fucking... It's a blast, dude. It's just so funny, man. I don't know. For $10, even if you're just playing single player, there is a decent amount of stuff there to do. But I do think, if I'm being honest, the heart of it is versus.
All right. That it?
That is all I will bore you with this week. But yeah, it's kind of a lot. I kind of binged on video games. There was actually even another one or two, but I'll leave them off this time.
All right,
we'll
talk about them next week. I did play another 2 games, one which I think you'll actually maybe is like a game up your alley. I finished Blood Omen Legacy of Kain, which was a PlayStation game, original PlayStation game. That game is Zelda with vampires.
I like this. I like what you're saying.
Straight up, like,
ooh, it's like the top down.
It's top down. It's an RPG, but not in the sense that like you kill enemies and gain experience. Like, you're only increasing your health by finding blood vials throughout the world. So, like hearts.
You're speaking to me.
And you're only increasing your magic by finding these like little pyramid things that that'll like slowly, periodically increase your magic capacity.
Are you getting like increasing armor or weapons?
Yep. So like you will find new swords and new weapons and new equipment. So like there are places you can't access right away because you need a mace to bust it open. So you need to find the mace first.
Nice.
Which will then advance you. And then Kane also has a variety of spells that he can cast.
Is there like stat based shit as well, or is it more like functionality?
No stat based stuff. There's nothing stat based, so it's all like you're getting better weapons. Like eventually, you can get this sword called the Soul Reaver, which basically kills enemies in like one hit, like almost every enemy, in fact, except for bosses. But using it, depending upon how strong the enemy is, will also like take some of your magic away. So you don't necessarily want to like use that sword all the time. There's like a flame sword, which is like the next step down. It's pretty cool. Like you're going through dungeons, you're finding like flipping switches and avoiding traps, and it's really just Zelda.
It looks pretty cool, man. Like,
So it took me a little while to get going on it, and it can be hard. But I think like since you like Zelda, it is very much modeled after that. It's interesting because it is Dennis Dyack, who I don't know if he makes games anymore, but it was a co-production between Silicon Knights, which was Dennis Dyack's company, and Crystal Dynamics.
Weird.
This game featured Dennis Dyack as the director and I think lead writer, and Amy Henning as like a game manager or something like that. Like two pretty big people in games.
Yeah,
worked on this together. And then they're like the Kane series is really really fascinating in that Silicon Knights. Basically, like they came, like Dennis Dyack came up with the whole like mythology for it all, but they had a huge falling out, and then Crystal Dynamics kept it and moved on, and kept making games in that universe, because like they went on and made like Soul Reaver and Soul Reaver 2 and Blood Omen 2 and Legacy of Kain Defiance, and like I think it's now owned by Square Enix, but because Eidos eventually ended up with the license. It's just like super fascinating, the history of that series. But in terms of like games that Jeff would like, I think this is definitely up his alley. It's kind of ugly now.
It looks like my jam.
Like it's not a pretty looking game at all.
For what it is.
I mean, it's a 1996 PlayStation game. Yeah. Top-down PlayStation game. Like the CG in it is not great. Like there are cutscenes. There's a story, which is more than what you would get in like a Zelda type game, but like a 2D Zelda game of that era. But this is I think it's pretty good. I think you'd like it if you can find a copy of it. I'm not sure where you can play it anymore. It used to be
just looking up like
in store.
I was just looking up like maybe it would still be on like if I went on PS3.
Yeah, maybe.
To buy it though is ranges in price. It doesn't look like it looks like some people like will sell a used copy for $10 if it's like in shit condition, but I don't know.
It's I mean I played it on PSN, but I bought it years ago. So I don't know if it's still up there. Like, there's
it would so feel weird for me buying a game on PS3, but
yeah, like, having to hook your PS3 even back up, like if you don't have it hooked up right now. But
it's actually like up in my bedroom. It's like my girlfriend will basically use it to watch Netflix in the bedroom.
And it's not a bad
strangely bedroom. Enough.
And then I jumped into Soul Reaver, which is a completely different game that is a straight up action game, 3D action game on the PlayStation that actually. For early 3D on the PlayStation, that game actually looks pretty decent. And is an interesting take on like vampire stuff. We need more vampire games.
And you were saying like this is in the same kind of like series. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, was it Legacy of Kain? Yeah.
So Blood Omen Legacy of Kain is like the Zelda game, and then after that, then they kind of go in like a action,
more action, like 3D action game, yeah, kind
of 3D action. Soul Reaver was it was a pretty big game actually on the PlayStation. And
wow, that looks really good for a PlayStation 1 game.
Soul Reaver, right? Not yeah. Are you looking at Soul Reaver or are you looking at yeah. Soul Reaver 2? Because they made a sequel to on the PS2.
No, true widescreen. It's says it's a pick of Soul. At least on Google Images, it says Soul Reaver 1.
Yeah, I mean it's. I think it actually looks like. I was surprised because
it looks like a PlayStation 2 game almost to me.
Like it's late era PlayStation. Like they learned how to master that. So, I think Crystal Dynamics was also the Tomb Raider team. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like by then, by the time they did Soul Reaver, like they had kind of had they understood how to do 3D action games and make them look okay. It's not super detailed, but it's an interesting take. Like you have to shift between the dead realm and the real world. I mean, it's a direct sequel to Blood Omen as well.
Do you like? Is there one you think is like a better representation of that genre, or like one you prefer more at least?
In that series, or
like I'm saying, like do you think? First of all, like, do you prefer Soul Reaver or Blood Omen?
I think I prefer Soul Reaver. It's more of an action game. Like, Blood Omen was cool. I don't know if I'd ever put myself through that 13 hours again, though. Like, it gets pretty difficult at points. Okay. And I was like, wasn't necessarily what I was looking for, but I fought through it. So,
all right.
But it's a. I think like you like as a huge Zelda fan.
Should Blood definitely Omen check
is,
it out. Yeah.
Blood Omen is the one you want to try. And like if you're like, hey, that's a pretty cool story, I want to continue it, then like it continues on as an action series. Not that Blood Omen is like, not an action game. It's just top down action.
Yeah.
Different
yeah.
type
but,
of style.
But I do like 3D action games, so maybe I don't yeah. know.
And I think the PlayStation 2 games are pretty decent too. Blood Omen 2 and Defiance. I've never actually played Soul Reaver 2, so
are those just like action games too? Or
yeah, they're action games. Soul Reaver, you play as this character Raziel, and he can shift, as I said, between the dead realm and the real world. In the other two games, you play as Kain again, and as Kain, as a vampire, like you have to feed. So that's one of the mechanics in Blood Omen as well. Like your health will slowly drop over time, like if you don't feed often enough, so you can like stun enemies and feed off of them, and so like you have to make a decision, like do I want to kill these guys or should I like stun them and steal their blood to get my health back.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like there's all sorts of it's pretty cool. I think you'd like it.
Probably.
Anyway, That's it for what I've been playing, unless you guys want to hear about baseball, which you probably don't. So
I do, actually.
It's like good. Baseball. Really good. MLB The Show 19 is really good.
Did I tell you guys that I'm getting this game for free?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You loaned out your PS4,
right? Yes. So, anyways. Yeah, that's why I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so I think last week I told you I had just played March to October, which is like the abbreviated season mode.
Yeah.
That's I played more of that. That's interesting where like you'll have these scenarios like, oh, you're losing in the sixth or you're winning in this like the bottom of the eighth or something. You have to close out the game. So you come in with like these objectives to finish out the game. I actually ran across one scenario that was like, play as Mikel Franco, and get some hits as him or have like a good offensive game, which will give him a boost for the rest of the year. And all you do in that scenario is play his part. So like anything that's hit to third, like you're playing as him and then, you're playing all of his at bats, but that's like it for that scenario, which I found interesting. Most of the time you're playing as the entire team, but I did jump into Road to the Show.
Yeah.
And I have not played Road to the Show in definitely not this generation, probably like maybe 2011 on the PS3.
Oh gosh. That's the mode I play.
I have not played MLB the Show since then. It made a ton of huge improvements here. Like,
yeah,
it's now like before it was like RPG-ish where like you're getting experience by doing certain things. And that seems pretty standard across all sports games now. But in this, like you are talking to managers and to coaches and to agents and other teammates, and you're having interactions with them, which will boost or take away from these special attributes that you have. So like you pick three attributes out of four, like one is the captain. So like, that's like a leadership attribute, and then a heart and soul and a lightning rod. And I think there's like one other one. And you pick these and they will, like, as you level them up, like you'll get boosts to certain areas of your skills. And you do that through like these RPG dialogue options. It's like you're talking to your, like your teammates or your coaches or your agent, like getting all sorts of like feedback, and how you react to them will like determine whether you're getting a boost here or negative there. It's like really interesting and makes it way more engaging than like just playing like a season of NHL or Madden, where like Madden's pretty good with that stuff, but it doesn't feel quite as personalized as this. Like, this is way deeper. It's like a very, very good mode.
What was the other mode that you were talking about at first though?
March to October, which is it's like
just the kind of highlights.
Yeah, it's like the highlights of the season, and then there's actually a moments mode, which is it's like season moments, like from this season, like they'll take aspects of like
like actual moments that did happen in games.
Yeah, it's like so like. Oh, Bryce Harper walked and the bases are loaded against the Nationals and Rhys Hopkins hit a home run in this instance. Like, go out there and hit a home run.
It's so awesome that they like packed the game with that type of shit, dude. Like, that's like, oh, here's awesome moments from the last season. Like, that's cool. Like,
but, and it's not even awesome moments from the last, it's awesome moments from this season. It's like this shit happened in the last week.
Oh,
here, relive this stuff. And like they also have stuff from like historical stuff from like last season or even further back than that. Like,
does any other game like do that? Like, I know some of like the 2K games have done like classic moments from way back, but like,
yeah, and NBA 2K is the only one I've actually seen do it well.
Yeah,
Madden has tried it, but normally they don't have the old rosters, so it's like relive this old moment with the really old roster with the current roster, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this does that. Like, I know there's like a Babe Ruth moment section, which I haven't done yet. So like, I don't know if that's if you're Babe Ruth or like, I mean, you're Babe Ruth obviously, but if like you're actually playing against those players or if like you're playing against modern day players, which would be weird. But there was one that I tried. It was a Tony Gwynn. I guess like he back when he played, there was a chance for him to bat 400. Like, he was coming into the end of the season, and if he got three hits, he would have hit 400. He didn't do it. It gives you like the option of like trying to redo that game and like accomplish that. So that's like one of the things. Like, it's interesting. Like, there's these historical things that they want you to recreate, and then there's these historical things that like they want you to basically change history on.
Yeah,
challenges. Like, it's an interesting mode. Like, and that's just three of the modes. There's also they have their version of the Madden card game. There's like that, like the where you get the cards and like you're building your team from there.
Right.
They have this, it's called Diamond Dynasty, where like you're buying like packs of cards, which you can earn throughout playing the game, but you can also buy them, I guess, for real money. So there's that. There's a regular franchise mode, which you have like all control of all the franchise. There is another mode I played, which is called Retro Mode, and it plays like, it has the graphics of the game today, but it plays like a game like you would have played on like the Genesis, or so like batting is like you're moving around the batter's box. Like, you don't actually have control over, like, you know, in the game now, like, you can like control, like, hey, I want to like kind of target my,
like the character just kind of slides back
and forth. He's just sliding around the batter's box. Like, you can't actually love it. It's basically like playing one of those types of games,
just like X to swing and shit.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like this is goofy and fun in a way that I wasn't quite expecting, but it has like the actual like MLB The Show graphics. Like, it's like they have a bunch of cool shit in there that's,
you could like really set the controls. You could set the controls in like the other modes to like basically basic old school baseball, like it's like X's swing, you know here's the harder swing.
Like they give you, so when the game is loading, because it installs, like it's a big install, so while you're waiting to install, I guess the first time you boot it up, actually it'll be like, hey, welcome to MLB The Show, how do you want to play the game? And it gives you like all the options, and you can test out all the options. So it's like, all right, we're going to set up our batting options, and it gives you like the different options that they have for that. And you could test out each of the different setups they have. So it's like, I don't really like this one, or I don't like that one. They have like these preset ones, so you can actually make it like an old school game. You're not sliding around the batter's box, obviously, but like you can make it simpler in the control scheme. And even from there, like, those are just the presets. If you want to dig even deeper, like, you just can
tinker.
You can go into the settings and change it all. But I designed it in such a way that it's like, yeah, this works for me.
Yeah, the show's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really, really great design sports game.
Gonna have to hop in on that one at some point.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I bought one used after the Cubs won. I only played, like, a couple games, but I was super impressed by it. But just, like, hearing about, like, the different modes here makes me want to be, like, actually dig into one of these games.
Which, yeah.
I guess I'll be able to do.
You're going to get it in, like, September or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So. I mean, at the end of baseball season. Yeah. But, it's definitely worth giving a play to. Like, I've already put, like, 6 or 7 hours into it, and I feel that I'll put way more into it, and probably not as much as like Tony would when he gets it, but
I'll put in an hour or two.
Yeah, just at least that much.
Yeah.
Play a game or two.
But yeah, super deep and super well made, and definitely worth like whatever you're paying for it. So you're not paying anything for it, Jeff, but
yeah.
Tony, you did not play anything this week.
That's true. Played nothing.
I mean, you played the Seattle game.
That's right. I played Let's Go to the Airport and Read a Book, whatever. I can't play. I actually brought my Switch with me. I'd never used it.
I've done that before.
You didn't play it on the plane or
so I can't play games on planes. Like okay. It just makes me dizzy.
I don't think it makes me dizzy, but I just think I can't. I'm just thinking about how I'm gonna die basically the whole time, so like it's hard to concentrate.
We're gonna have to come pick you up like in a car, aren't we, to get you to Boston next year.
This is true.
I mean, I don't know. When I have to fly, I fly. It's just how it is. But
yeah, how do you get to Disney saying. World?
Yeah, well, Disney, I drove, but
oh, okay.
Vegas, I fly. And right. Possibly Disney next time, fly. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, so you didn't play your Switch at all, though? While you're...
Never touched it, so I don't know. I did other things.
It happens.
I was a tourist.
Yeah, that's
you did it right.
That's right.
And reading is always a good.
It's fundamental. Reading is fundamental.
Yeah,
I've been told that many times by commercials.
It's true.
I mean, unless you're illiterate, then I guess it's not fundamental. You never learned the fundamentals of it.
That's right. I mean, just because it's fundamental doesn't mean you know the fundamentals.
This is true. There's a lot of things that should be fundamental. People do not follow. So, well, you gonna play any games this week?
Enter the Gungeon. There you go. Yeah, buddy.
No, I hope to get like through Far Cry. Need to finish that up.
You're done.
Also, the Xbox Live sale is going on, like the spring sale. I've been looking at Jurassic World Evolution. I want to try that.
Is that a almost SimCity-ish game, right?
Yeah, SimCity-ish game with dinosaurs.
That sounds cool.
Oh, boy.
And it's only $20, so I might have to give that a whirl.
I'd be interested to hear what you have to say if you're picking that up. All right, well, we'll Far Cry and maybe Jurassic Park to look forward to. Yeah. I am getting Yoshi's Crafted World. Is that what the new one is?
Yeah.
Yep. That should be arriving here for me tomorrow, so I may have that.
Get that dangerous
and maybe driving. Dangerous driving.
You know you can't. You're just like, dude, yesterday I was like, I know if I just wait, I could buy it on sale 5 hours later.
Yeah, I
fuck. it just eats away at me. I just can't stop thinking about it. And I'm just like, all right, fine, I'll just fucking buy it. Whatever, $30. I'll live, you know, and I just press the button and here we are. I don't regret it. You'll be fine if you pull the trigger.
Oh, I'm sure. Just there are so many other games to play, though.
Is there, though? Is
there? I still have some challenges in Game Pass to do.
Oh, yeah. You said that gives you, like, does that give you Microsoft Rewards points?
It does.
Yeah. Which you can then use to buy.
Yeah, you need, like, 1,000 fucking points to get, like, $1.
No. Well, I mean, you could do that too, but like generally, I use them to get more Game Pass or Xbox Live.
Game Pass is cheap right now. It's there's like a deal.
I got
6 months of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was for new peoples.
No. With the rewards.
With the rewards points.
Oh.
Like they have sales. So you can get you can redeem your points for rewards. And one of the rewards is Game Pass for 3 months, but they're actually having a sale on Game Pass through rewards.
Yeah.
So like you can use less rewards points to get more Game Pass.
I always wait for the actual Xbox Live money or like the Game Pass to go on sale before I buy it. And then I just buy build those points up and spend them all.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I finally found the reward section on my Xbox the other day. And I still don't know how to get back to it now, but like I finally found it. I was like, oh yeah, this is what they're always talking about. And I have points and shit. Like and I was just like, oh, this is all trash. I should go try to find it again. How do you find it?
It's the rewards app. It's an actual app.
Oh, so it'll just be under my apps.
Yeah. It has like a little I don't even remember what it looks like right now, but
okay, I'll find it then.
Like it's Xbox Rewards or Microsoft Rewards or something like that. Also, don't forget to use Edge every day. for like 5 minutes and you'll get your 400 points from them.
I see, that's too much. I can't. No.
It's not like really, you just have to type in one thing and then click on everything associated with it.
It's so easy. So easy.
You're done in less than 5 minutes. Like that, and that's not even like doing, like you could spend like an extra 2 or 3 minutes and then answer like their quizzes and stuff for the day, which are sometimes informative.
That's
right. I'm going to have to pass on all of that.
It's so good.
But I will try to like spend my points, I guess, at least while this shit's on sale.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. I don't remember exactly how many I had, but I'm sure I had a little bit.
And I mean, even for there, like the you can gain like 20 points or so a day on the Xbox just by clicking on like, it's basically like, hey, watch Fortnite on Mixer. Just hit X, it boots Mixer, you shut Mixer down, and you have your 5 points.
You're making this all sound very innocuous, but I'm telling you, this sounds like a horror movie over here.
So
you have to watch Fortnite, you have to use Microsoft Edge.
Just like click one thing and then exit out.
Yeah, and like it starts to load Mixer and you shut Mixer down and you have your points.
Like, I don't trust it. I feel like I'm being led down a dark alley here.
That's it. Like Tony and I are definitely trying to lead you astray. Help me. Yeah. Like, definitely leading you down an alley so Microsoft can mug you.
I am. That's what I want. I want Jeff to be mugged.
All right. Well, we will have stuff next week. Earl will probably be back as well. He was sick this week. Star Wars news. A new Star Wars trailer for the Jedi Fallen Order will be out by then. So stuff to talk about next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.